Hi, this is David Nagel. Imagine if you were 100% accountable to yourself every single day, nonstop, no excuses. How different would your life be? How different would your business be? If you showed up fully committed to your goals, banished all excuses, and took action, followed through on your commitments, and did what needed to be done to create a life and business of your dreams. That's exactly what I'll be taking you through in the Elite Mind 90-Day Experience. I created the Elite Mind 90-Day Experience to help you develop an unshakable sense of confidence in yourself. In these 90 days, I'll be with you every step of the way, helping you become the person that you want to be so you can reach all of your goals. When you commit to showing up, doing what needs to be done, and sticking to a daily process that works, you automatically up-level all areas of your life. Something magical happens when you engage in this process for 90 days. You strengthen your commitment muscle by showing up and taking small, simple actions that add up over time. You develop trust in yourself and an internal knowing and sense of, I can do this no matter what the challenge is. You start seeing through your own BS due to your heightened awareness. You catch yourself more quickly when you find yourself making excuses. You start to build yourself into the person that you want to be. The best part about this is it works. I should know because I've used the same process for the past 3 decades to build my business, and now you can too. For more information on how you can join me in up-leveling your life and business, go to lifeisnowinc.com/elite. Again, that's lifeisnowinc.com/elite. Part of building an elite mindset is developing the habit and practice of consistently doing things that lead you in the right direction, never taking your foot off the gas, and no longer getting in your own way. Again, that's lifeisnowinc.com/elite. Up-level your life and join me in the Elite Mind 90-Day Experience.
Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast, where today David and I discuss curiosity over judgment and the gifts that curiosity can hold and the damage that judgment can do. Let us know what you think.
You're listening to the Successful Mind Podcast.
Successful people learn how to make their minds work for them.
We are Life Is Now, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast. How are you doing today, David?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I'm playing with the idea of curiosity today.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. And thought we'd have a conversation about curiosity versus judgment.
Sounds good to me.
Kind of relates to the podcast we did last week where we talked about, what did we talk about last week?
Attachment.
We talked about attachment.
Yeah.
This is kind of a little of a tangent off of it, but it relates in some ways.
Right.
And let me tell you where I got this idea. Because I'm always looking for, like, what are we going to talk about on the podcast? And actually, some of you have reached out to me and said, hey, can you do an episode on such and such for the podcast? We'd love to learn more about this. So
Yeah. This
came from an interaction that I had with a client of ours who was having a difficult time with a team member. And they were really upset that a team member made a decision that they did. It cost the company not like thousands of dollars, but it was a little bit of an oopsie. And the founder that I was talking to was really upset about it. And in conversation with them, I realized that they were making a whole bunch of assumptions about this employee without ever actually having a conversation with them. And I remember reading a long time ago.
Assumptions or judgments?
Judgments, okay. Assumptions, tomato, tomato in this case.
Okay.
They're pretty similar. But definitely judging based on assumptions that they made about this employee. And the employee did not have a bad track record. Like, they didn't have a pattern of making, you know, big mistakes. And so I said, what if you looked at this from a place of curiosity rather than judgment and assumption? And he kind of sat back and he said, well, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, if this were me, I would be really curious as to how they made that decision, because if I can understand how that decision was made, we can then put parameters in place to make sure that it's never happened again, rather than being upset with the employee for making the mistake.
Right.
Let's take a look at, you know, let's be curious about it. Because if you're in judgment, if you're making assumptions, you're not being curious. You've already decided what has happened and why it's happened, but you might miss some key things, some key learnings about why they did what they did. So it was agreed upon, like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna set my emotions aside, because he was pretty triggered. I'm gonna set my emotions aside for right now, and I'm gonna have a conversation with this employee and ask questions. And the questions were, tell me how did you come to make this decision? Like, what were the key factors that you used to evaluate making this decision? That was one of the questions that I recommended that he ask. And then the other question was, what were you afraid of when making this decision? Because a lot of people make decisions because there are an avoidance of fear, right? They go for what's safe rather than what might be the best. So I wanted to really kind of dig in and see, is psychological safety at play under the surface? Like, how did this mistake happen? And I talked to them a week later. They came back. We had a short, just kind of check in, and he was so grateful for the suggestion of coming at it with curiosity. One, because he probably saved an employee, right? Like, because he was at the point where he was ready to let them go for this mistake. And it turned out in the conversation that he learned a lot of information that he wasn't aware of that influenced this employee's decision, that he can now go back and put systems, processes, language in place to make sure that this mistake didn't happen again. And this isn't the first time that I've had conversations like this with founders of organizations, quite honestly. A lot of times they'll get on the phone with me and they'll be really frustrated by something that's happened in their business, whether it's with a marketing strategy or a campaign, and they're just, you know, all black and white thinking. All they see is the judgment around it, and they've forgotten to bring in curiosity and say, what caused this to happen? I wonder what would have happened if we would have done just this different, right? And it's interesting to me, because curiosity, like, as children, we're so curious.
We are.
Like, we're curious about everything. We want to know why the sky is blue. We want to know why there's holes in the cheese. We want to know why, you know, why there's cartoons on Sundays. Well, I did when I was little. Now there's cartoons all the time. So I kind of dated myself. But we want to know answers to all of our questions. We're curious. And then when you get to a certain point in your life, it's like the curiosity leaves and the judgment comes in.
Because the core wound takes over.
Ooh, speak to that.
Yeah. So I'm sitting here, I'm just making some notes as you're talking, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, we talked about attachments, and making assumptions out of attachments last week. But the judgment is almost like the next stage in that process if you don't let go of the attachment. Because the judgment's when you literally create a story around whatever it is that happened. And if we're looking at judgment from the idea of negative or being locked in, and obviously I think we are, because curiosity kind of opens that door, makes you ask a different question. You wonder why, you wonder how, who, what,
yes,
whatever. Then the question becomes, okay, so the creation of the story begins with my judgment. What story am I creating? Well, you and I both know, after working with thousands of people, that these stories don't change that much, right? They're like, one story is always somehow attached to the next one and the next one and the next one based on what your core story is, which is the core wound, the core fear, core negative belief. about yourself. So if I'm, if I am, if I have a core wound that's, that is, I'm not enough or I'm not worthy.
Which a lot of people do.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Or that I don't matter.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to see the world through that self-judgment, because that's what that is. It's a self-judgment, even though it may have been given to me by somebody else, which probably is 100% true.
Yes.
But the, as I look at the world through that, from a little kid, I begin to let go of the innocence of curiosity, and I begin to see through this judgment that I have. And as I go year after year after year in my life, I will start to recognize more and more things that keep happening. Now, I'm probably not aware at all that I have this self-worth issue that's actually going on from a core wound perspective, but I'm definitely aware of how it feels when something goes wrong in a way where I'm creating a judgment, because that it's just painful, right? What, whatever it is, that means I'm seeing something in a way where I have a preconceived story or reason that I'm going to determine what this actually means versus what it could mean. And then that will, not only will it magnify my own core wound and keep that thing in place, but I think that it also narrows the view of that person the older they get in life, right? They're not seeing more and more in their life. They're not looking at, they're not becoming more curious. They're not seeing more truth. They're not seeing more opportunity. They're not usually very open to learning and various different things to make themselves better in any way. Mm-hmm. It just keeps getting narrower and narrower and narrower until the only thing that they see is whatever that story is. Like, the whole world is going to hell, you know, that type of thing. Or all business is going out of business, or people can't make sales, or one that we hear and have had heard for like the last year, you can't hire anybody. There's nobody out there to hire. It becomes a major story of judgment that then controls the way that we think. It's controlling our decision-making process. The other thing I wrote down is that if we think about where does this show up, we judge people, we judge plans, we judge ideas in business, we judge price, we judge cost, right? Hiring, firing. How many people have we come across that think they're a bad person because they have to let somebody go?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like just, you know, self-judgment, or like in your case that you were talking about, not being able to let somebody go because of, you know, whatever reason. But I think that it stems from an initial story that each one of us has a viewpoint of how the world, what the world looks like. And then as things begin to happen and progress in our life, if we're not clearing that up as we go, we just keep stuffing more things into the verification of that story, and we start to judge from that place. And it could, of course, it can be more than one. Yeah. I don't want to just say that it's just one story, but usually there's some kind of predominant idea that people live by if they don't clean that stuff up in their life. And then it does. It's going to cause this judgment. Now, what you were saying about the curiosity is an interesting thing, because I think that some decisions based on a judgment can be okay. Like I had an embezzlement in my fourth year of business, and that was my fault because I didn't have an attorney read a contract.
Yes.
So I made a decision, you could call it a judgment, where I was like, I'm not going to ever do this again. Because I learned something that was very painful out of that, right? But I didn't create a story that I was a bad person, or that all people that I go into business with are bad people. I used it in a way where, because I allowed curiosity to come into my life and say, what caused this, right? To then make a determination to do something that would expand from that point on, and not something that would close it down, which is, I think, what you're getting at with the curiosity. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, last week we talked about how this stuff shows up in sales. And I see a key area in sales where this shows up in a major way. And that is, you take someone through a sales conversation it's clear that you can help them. It's clear that they can see that you can help them. And you go into the close of the sales conversation and the person says, no, I'm not gonna move forward. I'm not gonna buy your service. I'm not gonna do anything. And most people will get triggered by that no, and they'll judge it as, I've just lost this sale, rather than coming at it with curiosity, right? So, I mean, when I was doing sales, I would say, well, hold on a second. Help me understand this. I'm really curious. We just uncovered that this one thing, like if we helped you with this one thing, it's going to make all the difference in your business, but you're saying no to it. Why are you saying no to it? And you come at the sales conversation with curiosity, and then they start telling you, well, I just don't know that I'm, you know, I just don't know if I can trust myself to do this. Okay, now you know what objection that you need to address. You wouldn't have known that had you not approached that no with curiosity, right, rather than judgment. Right. And I see this all the time in sales conversations. People hear a no and they think no is the end all be all, and they back away and they feel rejected and they go into their head about why or why not, and I'm a bad salesperson, or this is the wrong person for me. And they completely miss an opportunity to take this conversation to a more deeper, more vulnerable, more intimate place that could actually result in the sale.
Right. And it destroys their confidence.
Destroys their confidence.
So they're not getting better at sales. They're getting worse.
Right.
They're usually probably backing away from it. The one, you know, sales is a very interesting skill because it's one skill that I don't know is matched anywhere else in business, that if your energy is just a hair off because of your thinking, you'll go from rocking it to it sucks. Like there's nothing happening. And usually what ends up happening is a person will look outside of themselves and go, people aren't responding. They're not picking up the phone. They're not answering text messages. They're not ideal. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
They'll refuse to look at themselves with curiosity. I mean, David, think about it, right? You're like, one of my most favorite stories that you tell is the Herbie story. And that took you saying, well, wait a second, what's going on here? Like, I wonder if I tried something else, if I could actually help this dog, right? Like you took a step back, and instead of just saying, they told me no, you came at it with, I'm not going to accept that no.
Right.
I'm going to proceed with curiosity. And you found out the reason why they said no, and then you overcame that objection.
Yes.
So I'm not going to assume that everyone knows that story. So I don't know if you want to just briefly summarize it and share it real quick.
Well, there was when I right before I started the business, I was involved with a network marketing company for a few years. And they had a product that helped pets that had arthritis, and you know, as they get older, they have issues, and they called it a pet pad, and the animal would sleep on it and it would help reduce inflammation. So I went to this couple. They lived kitty corner from us. Their names were George and Sandy, and I knocked on the door. I was sitting in my office, and I watched them walk by with their little dachshund Herbie, and they would take Herbie for a walk every single day, and the kids just loved Herbie. All the kids in the neighborhood would come running out. My kids were little at the time, and this one day they were walking down the street, and they were pulling Herbie in one of those red wagons, right? And I went out there and I'm like, what's going on? Why is Herbie in a wagon?
Poor, you know, Herbie.
And they're like, well, you know, Herbie's getting older. He can't make it around the block anymore, but he loves to see the kids. So we're pulling him in the wagon. So I went over there. I'm like, okay, I've got something that might help this dog. And I went over there and I talked to them about it. And I thought for sure that they would buy this. And they flat out told me no. And they were like, you know, we really appreciate it, but no, we're really not interested. And I'm thinking to myself, why would they not buy something that would help this dog? So anyway, I left, right?
You took their no as a no.
I took their no as a no, yep. and I left. And I had that weekend, I happened to be going to a conference that this company was putting on. And it was how to run the business, and a lot of self-improvement at this conference. And I had a question about why I was not progressing the way that I thought that I should be progressing. And I happened to ask this guy who was very good. Like he was one of the top distributors in the world. And he told me, he said, you don't want it bad enough. And I remember getting so angry, Steph. I mean, talk about being in resistance, you know, just unbelievably angry that because I thought that he would at least talk to me for like 5 minutes and give me some information or whatever. I had no idea that the answer would be, you don't want it bad enough. And he would turn around and walk away. And then that would actually turn out to be the truth, because it wasn't, he was telling me it. And I'm coming from a place of, he's telling me that I don't have enough desire to do this. And this is not what this guy was saying at all, but it took me halfway to drive home before I realized what the problem was. And I thought to myself, okay, wait a minute. So this was curiosity again, mm-hmm. right? I said, okay, let's say this guy's right. Okay. How would that show up if he's right? Where would I have any evidence that this was correct? And immediately I thought of the sale that I just attempted with George and Sandy. And I thought, I just took their no for no, and I didn't do anything else to see if I could overcome that no in any way. So I went home, and I was just so determined at that point, because I realized that he was right. Like, I was stopping at a no, and I wasn't understanding the no. I wasn't asking any more questions. I was just taking the no as a no. So I had not developed that skill set either. So I grabbed it, this pet pad, and I went over to their house and I knocked on the door, and he opened the door and he saw it in my hand, and he goes to say, David, I told you we're not interested. And I kind of stepped into his house. I put one foot in and stepped up. I said, just listen to me. I just want you to listen to me. So I started talking to him, and I said, I know this will help your dog. Would you please tell me why you don't want to buy it? And this is where the information that I would have never known came out. And he says, well, Herbie's got a little incontinence problem. He's getting older. And if he pees on the pad, see, they were coming from the idea that the pad's not going to work. So if they tried it, then they would have to get it back to give a refund, but the dog would pee on the pad and ruin it. They're not going to get a refund. And I told him, I said, no problem. I said, if it doesn't work, I don't care how many times he pees on it, I'll buy it back from you. Not a problem at all. I said, write me a check. And he pulled out his checkbook. He wrote not that people do that much anymore, but back then, right? He pulled out his checkbook, wrote a check, gave me the check. I made the sale. The next day, Herbie was walking down the street. Yeah. So it was one of those moments where I learned something really, really profound by not judging. Because the first thing I did, Steph, was judge this guy. Like, I judged him. Like, I've never judged anybody. I judged this guy this at this conference, yeah. Right?
Well, it was your defense mechanism, right?
Oh, I was so pissed off at this dude. And I mean, it took me a while to actually calm down. I was so, because it felt like he was stealing my dream by saying that.
Yeah.
And that's not what he was doing, right? So I'm creating these stories just by the way he said it and how he said it and what he said. And I didn't even ask him to clarify. I just left. I was like, F off, I'm out of here, you know? And on my way, for the first half of the ride home, I'm like, I'm leaving this company. This thing sucks. I should have known it was a scam. Like, I started all this stuff, this nonsense. Mm-hmm. And then I calmed down and I asked a different question. I asked a curiosity question. And that changed everything. And an interesting thing, I never put a whole lot of thought into this. And I don't know that this is true. I'm actually making up. But I do wonder, had I stayed in judgment, if I would have ever gotten as far as I am now.
Oh, no way.
You know, because I would have never learned anything. I would have probably quit because I would have never figured out the problem. And so without figuring out the problem, I wouldn't have known how to get any better at making sales. So it was a huge lesson that I was able to learn fast and become aware that not to react. Right. Because it was multiple lessons within this story, but not to react, you know, to ask questions, to be curious and get different answers and make different decisions and stay out of judgment.
This happens everywhere in sales. This happens in online sales, you know, where someone gets ready to launch a product. They've got a list. They launch it and it's crickets.
Yeah.
Nobody buys. They don't take the time to reach out to their list and say, hey, can I ask you why didn't this appeal to you? They've missed an opportunity to be curious to get a different result. This happens in sales all the time when someone hears a no. I can't even tell you how many times I've heard no and I proceeded with curiosity and I turned that no into a yes just because I knew what the objection was. So I knew I could talk them through it, right? Yeah. So no, we're not going to sign up for this program. Okay, well, help me understand why, because we just walked through this whole thing and it's clear that we can help you. And that you need this service. Why are you saying no? Well, we just got this huge tax bill. Okay, well, let's get you through the tax bill and start you in a month and a half. If I send you a contract, will you put a small deposit down now? Oh yeah, sure, we can do that. And then suddenly your sales turn from a no to a yes, just because you had the courage, and it does take courage, to ask why. And not in a, well, why not? You know, not in a negative, but from a place of curiosity, like, you know, that's interesting. Can you help me understand why you wouldn't do this? Like,
right.
What's causing you to say no to this when we've so clearly laid out that it could help?
Yeah, there's another thing with this also. And I think the only exception to this would be if you're making cold calls, because then a person doesn't know that you're about to call them and they may not even understand what the hell it is that you're saying when you do call. But if you're responding to any kind of a way where you productively got leads coming in, whether it was marketing or speaking or advertising or whatever it is that you're doing, there's some interest there or they wouldn't be in conversation with you.
Correct.
Right? So if everything is lining up and they go to no, very often it's like, okay, what is it in your mind is the barrier to the thing that you know or you've said that could help you or that you had interest in. And one of the things that I have mentioned many times is that, you know, of course, not with everything, but with a lot of things in sales solves a problem, right?
Yes.
So when you make a sale, you're generally solving a problem for somebody, product or service, you're solving a problem. In many cases, when a person has a problem, part of the reason that they have a problem is ignorance to whatever it is the solution is, you know? So if they have ignorance around the solution, they probably have some kind of a story as to why they can't get a solution, even if it's complete superstition where they just don't know that it's there. So to not ask questions, it's an interesting thing, but I will tell you this. I think that part of it does stem from the way most people are raised, right? To ask questions around the things that you're asking in sales would have been considered rude if you're middle class. Like if you were being raised middle class, you don't ask those questions. You don't talk about money. You don't delve into people's private lives.
You don't ask questions, period.
Right.
Like when I grew up, when you grew up in the Midwest, you don't ask questions, any kind of questions.
Nope.
You just make assumptions about the person and that's that. Like
that's right.
It's not okay for you to ask questions. I just had a scenario pop into my head that we had with our team. One of our team members wasn't logging things into our project management software, wasn't tasking things. And I had talked to them before. We had agreed that they would start doing this, that they would, you know, task. And we had our we call measures of success meeting, and they weren't being consistent with it, right? So there's two ways you could approach this. You could approach this with, well, this person doesn't care, and they're just, this is like a passive aggressive behavior. They're not doing what they said they're going to do. We should replace this person. Or you can approach it with curiosity and say, hey, you know, this is a measure of success that we agreed on. What's causing this to not be done consistently? And it turned out that there was something that was going on every afternoon, pretty much, that was causing a distraction from them being able to enter all their tasks. So we created a solution together. And guess what? Everything's being tasked consistently now. So I really think that a lot of damage is done both in teams, in sales, in how you show up in relationships. I mean, how many times do you make judgments about relationships without actually asking clarification and understanding where the other person's coming from?
Right after the honeymoon period's over, you start judging everything the other person does.
Yes. They left their socks on the floor, so that means they don't care what right. They don't care about me, right? You make things mean all the things that they don't mean instead of just being curious, like, hey, why do you keep leaving your socks on the floor? So I really think there's a huge gift in curiosity over judgment. I think if I were to get a second tattoo, my one tattoo says trust, it would probably be stay curious on my other wrist, because I think it's such a gift to be curious about what you're experiencing rather than immediately and compulsively jumping into judgment about what you're experiencing.
Yeah. You know, we were talking about the Midwest thing. I was thinking about what was the most common thing that I heard when I asked a question about something when I was a kid, and the answer would be because I said so.
Or it's none of your business.
I didn't hear that one that much. I heard because I said so all the time.
Oh, yeah. Why is something the way it is? Because we said so.
Because we said
Why so. Do I have to do this? Because I said so.
How come I can't stay out tonight with the other kids? Because I said so.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I heard it's none of your business because I was the bossy one, right? So I always heard, you know, mind your own business. You know, none of your beeswax.
Yep.
When I was curious. So
my father was relentless about not letting me or my brother. He would be upset if we were in earshot of an adult conversation, you know, like, and it got to the point where it was so bad that my mother and my grandmother would start arguing in our defense, like, it's okay. They can be here for this conversation. And he'd be like, get away from the adults. He did not want us around adult conversation at all. And it was like, how are we ever going to learn anything if we can't be around anybody that's an adult and listen to them talk? He was forever doing that. But I mean, it was the same way. I think it just an insecurity on their part and not being able to give any kind of reason for your own curiosity. And you were right, Steph. Kids are unbelievably curious when they're young.
Oh, they make you crazy with questions. Like, so crazy with questions sometimes. And then it just gets shut down. And I think it's interesting. I wasn't expecting you to bring up core wound, but that's exactly what causes that shutdown.
Yeah, I agree.
So moral of this story is stay curious. Curiosity over judgment.
Stay curious. It's the new tattoo. Let's all get tattooed. Yes. Stay curious. Stay curious, my friend. Right. Hey, everyone. David Nagel here. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. And remember, stay curious.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. If you like what you've heard and you want to know more, go to lifeisnowinc.com.